Good morning, West Michigan, and welcome to Grand Rapids Daily for Monday. I'm your host, and we've got a busy week of local news to get into.
Good morning, everyone. Before we dive into the headlines, let's take a quick look outside. It is currently a very comfortable 60 degrees in Grand Rapids with completely clear skies. We're going to see that sunshine stick around all day, with temperatures climbing up to a high of about 87 degrees by mid-afternoon.
It's going to be a beautiful, warm day, but we did cross a slightly bittersweet seasonal milestone over the weekend. Saturday, August 3rd, marked the absolute final day of the year that Grand Rapids will see a sunset at 9:01 p.m.
I noticed that. It feels like the sun is dipping below the horizon just a little bit earlier every night now. And according to local forecasters, we are officially entering a period of significant daylight loss. Right now, we're losing about 2 to 2.5 minutes of daylight every single day.
And that pace is only going to accelerate. By late August, we'll be losing nearly 3 full minutes of daylight daily. If you're a fan of those long summer evenings, you're going to have to wait a while to get them back. The next time we see a sunset at or after 9 p.m. here in Grand Rapids won't be until May 16th, 2027. That is wild to think about. It really signals that the longest days of the year are officially behind us, even if the thermometer is still hitting the upper 80s today. It definitely changes how you plan those evening outdoor activities, from evening runs to just grilling on the patio. Absolutely. Enjoy the 87 degrees and the clear skies today while we have them. All right, let's get into the news. Today we're looking at a major expansion of the downtown Dash Bus service and a new public health warning regarding West Nile virus in Kent County.
Our first story today takes us downtown, where the Grand Rapids City Commission has officially voted to approve a significant expansion of the Dash Bus service. For listeners who might not frequent the downtown core, Dash stands for the Downtown Area Shuttle, and it's a network of small, free circulator buses that run through the city center.
Right. It's been a massive asset for downtown workers, residents, and visitors who want to park once and then easily get around without moving their cars. Up until now, the routes have been fairly tightly constrained to the immediate downtown footprint, connecting the major parking lots to the Monroe Center corridor, the Medical Mile, and the Arena District. But this new vote changes the map considerably.
It really does. The commission voted 5-2 to approve a proposal that will push the Dash routes further out into the surrounding neighborhoods, specifically extending into the west side along the Bridge Street corridor and eastward into the Heritage Hill neighborhood. The goal here is to connect denser residential areas directly to the urban core, effectively reducing the need for those residents to drive downtown at all.
And that expansion comes with a price tag. The pilot program for these new routes is projected to cost about $1.4 million annually. The funding mechanism is interesting. It's not coming from a general tax increase. Instead, it's being funded by a combination of downtown parking revenues managed by the Mobile GR Department, paired with a temporary mobility grant from the Michigan Department of Transportation.
That funding structure was actually a major point of debate during the commission meeting. While the vote passed 5-2, those two dissenting votes raised some very valid concerns about transit priorities. The argument against the expansion was essentially, why are we spending $1.4 million to expand a free service for downtown and near downtown residents when the broader regional transit system, the Rapid, is still dealing with driver shortages and reduced frequencies on routes that serve lower income neighborhoods in the wider metro area?
That was a central tension in the room. Critics argue that transit equity should mean prioritizing the standard fare-based routes that people rely on to get to work across the city, rather than subsidizing a free circulator that heavily benefits tourists and people going to restaurants on Bridge Street. But proponents of the expansion, including Mayor Rosalind Bliss, pushed back hard on that framing.
Exactly. The mayor and the supporting commissioners argued that the Dash expansion is fundamentally an economic development tool as much as it is a transit initiative. They pointed to data showing that since the Dash routes were reconfigured in 2022, retail foot traffic along those specific corridors increased by nearly 15%. The hope is that bringing the route down Bridge Street will alleviate the severe parking crunch on the west side and drive more business to local storefronts.
There's also a significant environmental and urban planning angle here. By making it incredibly easy and free to hop on a bus every 10 minutes from Heritage Hill or the west side, the city is hoping to take hundreds of short car trips off the road every single day. That reduces downtown congestion, lowers emissions, and frankly, reduces the pressure on the city to build more expensive parking structures.
The timing of this rollout is also very deliberate. Mobile GR is pushing to have these new extended routes operational by mid-September. That is not a coincidence. They want the new system up and running with the bugs worked out right before Art Prize kicks off. Art Prize brings hundreds of thousands of visitors into the city, and having a robust, free shuttle system that reaches into the surrounding neighborhoods could be a game changer for managing that influx.
It's going to be a fascinating pilot program to watch. The big question will be what happens in 2 years when that state MDOT grant runs out. The city is going to need to see concrete ridership numbers on these new residential loops to justify absorbing that $1.4 million cost permanently into the local budget. But for now, if you live on the West Side or in Heritage Hill, your commute downtown is about to get a lot easier and a lot cheaper.
Shifting gears to public health, the Kent County Health Department has issued a new advisory regarding mosquito-borne illnesses. Yesterday, officials confirmed that several mosquito pools in the county have tested positive for West Nile virus, prompting a call for residents to take preventative measures.
Finding West Nile in the local mosquito population isn't entirely unusual for this time of year, but the health department noted that they are seeing a slight uptick in the number of positive traps compared to this exact time last summer. The positive samples were primarily collected from traps located near Millennium Park, as well as in some of the lower-lying, wetter areas in Wyoming and Granville.
It's important to clarify up front that as of right now, there have been no confirmed human cases of West Nile virus in Kent County this year. However, finding the virus in the mosquito population is always the leading indicator. It tells public health officials that the virus is actively circulating in the environment, primarily between mosquitoes and birds, which act as the main reservoir for the disease.
Right. Birds like crows and blue jays are highly susceptible to the virus, and a mosquito biting an infected bird can then pass it on to a human. Dr. Adam London from the Health Department stressed that while the risk to the general public remains relatively low, people need to be proactive, especially given the warm weather we're experiencing, like today's 87-degree high, which actually accelerates the mosquito breeding cycle.
The Health Department is really hammering home the prevention protocols. They are urging everyone to use EPA-registered insect repellents containing DEET, picaridin, or oil of lemon eucalyptus when spending time outdoors, particularly during dusk and dawn, when the Culex mosquitoes, the primary carriers of West Nile, are most active. Beyond personal repellent, they are asking residents to do a sweep of their properties. Mosquitoes need standing water to breed, and it doesn't take much. A clogged gutter, an old tire, a bird bath that hasn't been emptied, or even a child's plastic toy left out in the yard can become a breeding ground after a summer rainstorm. The county is doing its part by applying targeted larvicide treatments to public storm drains and catch basins, but they can't control what's in people's backyards. For context on the human impact, the CDC notes that about 80% of people who were infected with West Nile virus will never show any symptoms at all. They won't even know they had it. About 1 in 5 people will develop a fever, accompanied by things like headaches, body aches, joint pains, or a rash. Most people recover completely from that, though the fatigue can linger. The real concern is the severe cases. About 1 in 150 people infected develop a serious, sometimes fatal neurological illness, like encephalitis or meningitis. People over the age of 60 and those with underlying medical conditions are at the highest risk for these severe outcomes. That's why the health department takes the presence in the mosquito pool so seriously.
And this is the exact time of year we need to be vigilant. Historically in Michigan, late August and September are when we see the majority of human cases emerge. With high school football practices starting up in the evenings and people enjoying late summer concerts at places like Meyer Gardens, there's a lot of outdoor exposure happening, right when the mosquito populations are peaking.
Exactly. The message from the county isn't to panic or to stay indoors, but just to be smart about it. Empty the standing water around your house, wear long sleeves if you're out in the woods or near the river at dusk, and use bug spray. It's a simple routine that can prevent a potentially serious illness as we close out the summer.
Huh. All right, before we wrap up today's episode, let's hit a few more local stories making headlines in a quick roundup.
Sounds good. Let's get into it.
Heads up, if you're planning to drive through downtown this weekend, MDOT has announced a major closure on southbound US 131. The highway will be completely shut down between Pearl Street and Wealthy Street, starting Friday at 9 p.m. for ongoing bridge deck repairs.
That is going to cause some serious backups. The closure lasts all the way until 5 a.m. on Monday. So if you're heading south through the city this weekend, you'll need to use the posted detours along the local surface streets. Plan for extra travel time.
On a much lighter note, the Grand Rapids Public Museum has announced that its massively popular interactive Lego exhibit is returning to the city next month. I remember when this came through a few years ago, it was packed. The exhibit features giant sculptures made entirely of Lego bricks, including a 10-foot replica of the Mackinac Bridge. Tickets go on sale this Wednesday, and they are expected to sell out fast. Speaking of popular attractions, Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park just announced they have broken their all-time summer attendance record, welcoming over 350,000 visitors since Memorial Day this season.
That's a huge economic driver for the region. Park officials are crediting the expanded Summer Amphitheater Concert Series, as well as the newly completed Welcome Center, for the massive surge in foot traffic this season.
Finally, in local sports, the Grand Rapids Griffins have officially named their new head coach just weeks ahead of the start of training camp. They brought in a veteran from the AHL who has a strong track record of developing young talent for the Red Wings system. The first puck doesn't drop until October, but the front office is clearly trying to build some momentum early. And that is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. Thanks for starting your week with us. We will be back in your feed bright and early on Wednesday with more news, politics, and updates from around West Michigan. Enjoy the sunshine, stay cool, and we'll talk to you then.